Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you. All the time. I hope you're excited to be in the house of God. Welcome to church this morning. You chose a good place to be on a Sunday morning. Do we have that code? I would hate for nobody to get discipled because we didn't have a QR code up there. So if you want to get, can you read that? We'll talk about that later. If you want to get discipled, we have an amazing discipleship program for both men and women. But this one is specifically for Pneuma women. So if you aren't a part of that yet, scan that and you could be a part of that. But I thank God because, man, this week, we started our fellowship hall project and, I didn't do anything. But they did a lot this week and so I praise God for that. And so because of that, you know, our 412 is closed, 5 to 11, kids are over there. So they're in here with us. For the next maybe 2 weeks. Also, this Wednesday, again, we will be closed. We won't have Bible study, and I know how much we love Bible study. I know, boo. But we will be back shortly. I want to make this announcement just in case nobody knows. We still do have our toddler care over there, our little Fisher's class. We also have infant care right next door. So if you didn't know that, now you know. Amen. Well, let's get into the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to go to the Gospel of John. If you see somebody missing this morning, do me a favor. Don't call them out. Just call them. Call them and say, I miss you, you know. Pastor Brandon's like, let's go for the throat, man. Why aren't they here? I don't care. It's your kid's graduation. You need to be at church. John chapter 3, 25 through 30. If you have it, give me an amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is what the Word of God says. It says, now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. Read verse 30 with me out loud one more time. He must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. Let's go to God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you've spoken over your servant, my God. I pray, Lord, that as I have received it, my God, your people would receive it, my God, with conviction, my God. I pray that this word would penetrate the depths of our hearts and take root, my God, that this would not just be another word, my God, but it would call us to attention, my God, and call us to seriousness, my God, and call us to betterness, Father God, all for your honor, all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. I think this word is a little long overdue. You know, our church has been growing at a faster rate than I think we have in a long time. All glory to God for that. But, you know, as a church grows, it only means that there's more people who need spiritual growth. And so as we interact with more people, you know, we quickly find that people bring problems, right? People are prideful. People are gossipers. People like to choose sides. People like to divide. And so as we get more people and as we create more relationships and as we create more laborers in the kingdom of God and build more ministries, I think this conversation is worth having. Not to say that we have any of that drama in our church. Amen. Thankfully, only occasionally do I hear of some drama. But if it's not here, it's going to be somewhere else. And as Christians, we need to know how to handle things in a mature and wise fashion. And so this passage It demonstrates what every Christian needs to seek on a daily basis, and that is maturity. Somebody say maturity. Paul tells church leaders to equip the saints until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we may no longer be children, rather speaking in truth and love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head of the church, Christ. Christians are called to maturity. Amen. We're not called to stay the same. We are called to grow. And I've defined Christian maturity in different ways. I think there's a lot of different ways to define it. But my favorite is the ability to exercise the fruit of the Spirit in the midst of adversity. So if you can practice peace in chaos, if you can love the haters, if you can have patience in the pressure, right? That is maturity. But when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we have to realize that we're talking about the Spirit. So in order to obtain maturity, there has to be more of the Spirit of God in you and less of you in you. You know what I'm saying? I know that if there's too much Ryan, you know, Ryan's got some immaturities. You know, I've got some weaknesses. Pastor Ryan is a lot more mature because Pastor Ryan has to think like a pastor. Everybody in pastoral ministry knows that the pastoral ministry keeps you accountable, right? It should be the Holy Spirit. But if nothing else, the pastoral role is good at keeping some of my natural immaturities in check. You know, now, I can't say that I'm a pastor. I can't tell you what I really think. I'm a pastor. There are some memes that I think are hilarious that Pastor Ryan probably shouldn't post. I mean, it's not bad. It's just not the wisest thing. Pastors have to think like leaders. They have to make decisions on what is best for the church, even if they don't like it personally. We've got to counsel people based off of the scriptures, not based off of personal preferences. And so Pastor Ryan is a lot more mature, but he's still not perfect. Pastor Ryan is still human. Pastor Ryan still gets frustrated. And so instead of being Ryan and instead of being Pastor Ryan, the best thing that I could do is completely let go of myself and have the Spirit of God increase in me in every capacity imaginable. That's how you obtain Christian maturity. So I entitled the sermon today, Let Go of Me. Let Go of Me. And I'm going to challenge you this morning, right now, before we even get to altar call, to remind yourself to let go of yourself. Whenever you are in moments that want to drive you to immaturities, whenever you're tempted to entertain gossip, whenever you're tempted to dwell in bitterness, whenever you're frustrated beyond control and you just want to lash out, tell yourself, let go of me. John says, he must increase, but I must decrease. There's a but in there. I must decrease as he increases. Every good Christian wants more of Jesus, right? But not every Christian wants less of themselves. We want to be full of the Spirit while being full of ourselves. And it doesn't work like that. And so whenever you're telling God, Lord, I want more of you. God, fill my life. You also have to tell yourself at the same time, I need less of myself. He must increase, but I must decrease. Tell the person, don't miss the but. See, that's Ryan. Pastor Ryan would never say that. That's Ryan. He must increase as I must decrease. We have to make room for the Holy Spirit, church. We have to declutter the things that we bring into the room, the junk that we bring into our hearts. If you have a tendency of getting jealous, you've got to remove the parts of yourself that drive you to jealousy. If you can't see a birthday party post that you weren't invited to, you're better off just deleting social media. Because social media will be an infestation to everything that wants to drive you to jealousy. If you tend to be a prideful person, a selfish person, you have to give these things over to God. You have to tell God, Lord, I want more of you and I need less of me. You will only grow to the capacity of what you're willing to let go of. Are you hearing me? Some of y'all feel sleepy today. You will only grow to the capacity of whatever you're willing to let go of and part ways with. This week, we had a lot of things that we threw away. A lot of people are going to be mad. We took advantage. We had our dumpster out here because, you know, we're doing the renovation. And I was a little frustrated this week. Pastor Ryan was a little frustrated this week because I went into so many of these rooms just to find clutter, you know, and I call it all junk. I call everything junk. I mean, ask my wife, ask my kids, all their toys are junk. Anything that's not mine is junk, right? It's all junk. I want it all out of the house, you know. I want to declutter. And but we're all like that. You know, we all advocate for everybody else's stuff to be thrown away. But when it gets to our stuff, no, that's not junk. That's treasure. So we had a lot of treasure / junk that we threw away this week. Because what you got to do when you make room for growth, you have to make room for it. Because you will only grow to the capacity of what you're willing to let go of. Same thing with the heart and the mind of the believer. If you don't need it, throw it away. If God doesn't want you to have it, get rid of it. Don't become the just in case person. How many just in case people we got in here? You are afraid to throw things away just in case. I haven't used it in 10 years, but I might need it. Stop it. And it's the same thing spiritually. Like you removed that girl from your life because she was toxic. You know, she was no good, but you still got her number just in case. She's still your friend on Instagram just in case you get to a point where you're ready. No, man. You decluttered some things from your life. You took away. You stopped listening to certain music. You got rid of certain movies, but you still got it back to the cloud just in case. God will not increase if you are not willing to decrease. Now, all of this is really just a setup for what I really want to talk about. God had put on my heart to talk about a spirit that I believe has made itself very comfortable in the church. You know, every spirit that is not of God, it begins in the world. But when it's not checked, or when we're not even aware of it, it can easily infiltrate the Christian life, godly relationships, and the church. And so the spirit that God had put on my heart to speak about is the spirit, are you ready? The spirit of offendedness. There is offensive, and then there's being offended. I'm not talking about being offensive. I'm talking about being offended. So many people in our world and in the church are offended by things that were never even meant to be offensive. Yeah. Nobody hurts you. You're just hurt. And this is a problem everywhere. It's in culture, in politics, and our family relationships. But I'm talking to kingdom people today, okay? So let me tell you what kind of problems a spirit of offendedness creates in the kingdom of God. A spirit of offendedness brings distance between godly people. It creates division. It creates insecurities. Being offended makes you doubt yourself. It makes you question people's motives and attitudes towards you. It creates victim mentalities. It keeps people down. And ultimately, it keeps us from pursuing our purpose with effectiveness. Being offended will slow you down. Realize that truth this morning. Being offended by everything will slow you down because you're always going to need a moment. You're always going to need to process. You're always going to need time to get over it. You're always going to need time for the fumes to burn out. Peter calls the gospel a stumbling stone for many, a rock of offense, not because the gospel is supposed to offend you. It's actually supposed to build you, but some people take offense to it anyways. They stumble over it, which causes them to fall, and sometimes it keeps them down. Being offended slows down progress. So Jesus tells John the Baptist, blessed are those who are not offended by me. The gospel will call me out. It'll call out Ryan. It'll call out Pastor Ryan. It'll call out el ungido de Dios. It'll call out any, it doesn't care about your title. The gospel will call you out. It will reveal my areas of weakness. Jesus called out the woman at the well. He called out the Pharisees. He called out Peter. He called out Paul when he said, why are you persecuting me? Jesus has said some things that many people have been offended by. But blessed are those who take his words to work to better themselves. Blessed are those who don't stumble over the rock. Blessed are those who are not offended. Now, Christians aren't offended by the gospel. We're transformed by it, right? But in everyday Christian life, where there is a lack of maturity, are you listening this morning? Where there is a lack of maturity in a certain area, it makes people easily offended. And it slows down the spiritual growth, the ministry growth, the anointing, the influence that God wants to place on your life because people are just offended. And so in ancient literature, you'll find many rivalries between different philosophical groups. And we even see it in the Bible. Paul has to deal with division. There was a lot of divisions that were happening in the church, particularly in the church of Corinth. And so Paul talks to the Corinthians and he says, you know, some of you say, I follow Peter, I follow Apollos, I follow Paul. And Paul's like, bro, we're all preaching Christ crucified. We all follow Christ. But people tend to rally around certain leaders. We rally around certain ideas. Everybody's got their own preferences. Everybody has their favorite. And if the leader isn't mature enough to handle it, he or she will play into the division that naturally wants to be created. Does that make sense? So when John's disciples go to John and they're like, hey, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, the one you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and people are going to him. John, the audacity of this man, Jesus, who you rolled out the red carpet for, who you honored and praised and celebrated. He wouldn't even have a platform without you because you prepared the way. How dare he be now creating disciples? How dare his disciples now be baptizing people in water? You are John the Baptist. The disciples of John had a spirit of offendedness. Meanwhile, Jesus wasn't doing anything offensive. He was just fulfilling his purpose. He was just carrying on, doing his ministry, not minding the business of anyone else, because as he learned very early on, and he had to tell his parents, don't you know that I'm about my Father's business? I don't have time to be worried about what you're doing, because if I worry about what you're doing, it's going to slow down what I'm doing. I can't be focused on what you're doing. I've got to be focused on what I'm doing. I've got to be focused on what God called me to do, because if I'm looking at your walk, I'm not going to be looking at my walk, and I'm going to stumble, and it's going to slow down my progress that the Spirit of God has placed over me. The problem is that everyone who gets offended by everything makes everybody else's business their own business. Mind your own business. Focus on your business. This is what happens when we're offended, as we're looking over there. They didn't even do anything offensive. We're just not minding our business. We're looking at them. We're looking at that social media post. We're looking at that conversation. We're looking at that group. And this is something that I want you to hear. Look, and I'm talking to my church. I'm talking to Pneuma. I want you to hear me. As laborers of the kingdom of God, our leaders, our disciples, our disciple makers, our pastors, we should always, always strive for honoring one another. Always. Always. The Bible says, outdo each other in showing honor. If you're going to compete in anything, compete in showing honor to one another. Always. We should always have our backs. We should never play into the people who want to create sides or cause division or say, well, I only do Spanish ministry. I only do English ministry. I just follow Pastor Ryan. I just listen to Pastor Danny. I just follow Pastor Brett. And we don't do that. We all follow Jesus anyway. There's no time for that. And so here in this house, we outdo each other in showing honor. 100%. But at the same time, we should also never be offended by people who are simply doing the Lord's work. Please tell yourself that this morning. I should never be offended by somebody who is simply doing the Lord's work. If I am offended by a church down the street who was packing out the house with thousands of people and I get offended by it, that's a me problem. I should never be offended by people who are simply doing the work of the Lord. Last year, my brother Adrian, I don't know if Adrian's here. He's probably out there, bodyguarding. My brother Adrian, he's a friend. I love Adrian and he loves me, man. And he's always calling me and he's checking in on me and telling me that he's praying for me. I love Adrian, man. But when he first came to the church, Pastor Brandon really took the initiative to disciple him and meet with him one-on-one. And he would talk to him on the phone and he would, set up some time here at the church to meet with Adrian one-on-one. And so they got close and we were having baptisms one Sunday and Adrian asked Pastor Brandon if he could baptize him. And, Pastor Brandon, he's always got my back, And so first thing he does, he calls me. He's like, "Hey, Pastor, man, I just want to let you know, I've been discipling Adrian and we've gotten really close. And he asked me if I would baptize him. I know you're the pastor. I know that's your thing. What do you think?" Bro, can I tell you, I was ecstatic, Pastor Brandon, when he told me that. I literally was. I was rejoicing that God had sent laborers, that disciples were making disciples, that, man, like godly men were multiplying in this house. I said, "Bro, of course you can." So that Sunday, Pastor Brandon baptized Adrian. All glory to God. I'll tell you, the only thing that I got offended by was one brother who thought that they had to bring out the big guns to baptize Adrian because apparently I couldn't lift him up. That offended me. How dare you? I go to the gym. I just wanted to clear that up just in case you were thinking that too. We should never be offended by people who are simply doing the Lord's work. That how immature of me would it have been to say, "No, Pastor Brandon, I'm the pastor, man. I do the baptizing." If John the Baptist could say he's doing what he needs to do right now, I don't need to baptize anybody anymore. I prepared the way. I fulfilled my assignment. How much more should we grow up and be mature in the faith? At the same time, we also have to acknowledge that people are human. People have emotions. And I know this. And so whenever we get new members who come to the church from another church, and I know the pastor, I've done this several times. I'll call the pastor and I'll say, "Hey, pastor, I just want to let you know so-and-so started coming to our church. And I know there were previously members of your church. And I just want to let you know we had nothing to do with that. We're not in the business of stealing members, but they made that decision to attend our church. And I just want to let you know that we're going to steward them the best way possible. And we're going to pray for them. We're praying for your ministry." And I make a habit of doing that because I know in the ministry, you see somebody playing up here or you see a photo. And you're like, "Hey, that was my member." We have to be aware of those things, but everybody receives that with maturity, but we should never be offended by people who are simply doing the work of God. Amen. Now, I also want to apply this same principle. Still with me? Still with me? Okay. I want to apply this same principle to the Christian life because some of you, maybe you're not in ministry and so you don't get offended by other ministries. But there's still a spirit of offendedness in you. So I want to try my best to say this with grace because I don't want you to get offended. But offendedness, it slows down spiritual growth as well. Just like it slows down ministries and anointing and all of that stuff, it slows down spiritual progress. Not all the time. Sometimes, let me just say this. Sometimes you need to get offended, okay? Sometimes you need to get mad. Jesus was offended when he saw the money changers in the temple. They were corrupting the temple. If the Holy Spirit is offended, I better be offended. Okay, when somebody hurts or talks about my kids, you need to go in beast mode. I got to go in beast mode. There is a healthy offendedness. And to John's disciples, maybe they felt like it was worth getting offended. We have to have the wisdom to know when we should rightfully be offended by something. But more often than not, we are offended by things that we need to let go of. And so let me tell you this, when you are offended by things and it's causing division and it's causing strife and it's affecting godly relationships and it's affecting the church and it's affecting the marriage and it's affecting the family, when it's consuming you, when it's all you think about, when it makes you angry and bitter, when it's stealing your joy every morning you wake up, when it's slowing down your spiritual growth, there is too much of you in you that you need to let go of. Can we be super practical for a second? Not everybody is going to invite you to their birthday party. Not everybody is going to include you all the time. And I think the only way that you learn from this is by going through it. You know, growing up, I wanted to be everybody's friend. I wanted to be included in every invite. I wanted to be one of the guys in every circle of guys. Why are you laughing at me, man? I'm sharing my heart. Never wanted to be left out of any text groups. And you know, there were times where I would text, "Thanks for the invite, LOL," and I was crying inside. There was no LOL. There have been times where people didn't like my idea, and I would go home and be like, "Nobody likes me, everybody hates me." I quickly realized, thank the Lord it was quick, that if I was going to mature into the man of God that he has called me to be, I needed to let go of the silly. Tell the person next to you, let go of that silliness. And if you're sitting next to a person that's close to you, you know exactly what that silliness is, right? Everything you take personally can affect you spiritually. So they say something ugly about you. Confront them. Confront them with calmness, okay? But Pastor, I can't confront them because then they're going to know that so-and-so told me. I hate that. Oh, I hate that so much. Some middle school drama right there. But it happens. It happens. So if you can't confront the person, pray for the person. Pray for them. Pray for those who persecute you. That's literally what Jesus says. Pray for some. Look, realize how much is going to change the posture of your spirit when you begin to pray for the people that gossiped about you. Look how much you grow when you start to pray for the person that badmouths you. Let go of the silliness. Don't be consumed by it. When you overhear that somebody made a comment about you, don't start giving her ojo every time you see her. So maybe there was a disagreement between you and your brother. And you're saying, "Pastor, he's stubborn and he's just stuck in his ways. And he makes it so hard to move past this. I can't work with that." Then you work on you. Maybe you can't work on him. Work on you. You have no control over anybody else's maturity level, but you do have control over yours. And let me tell you, occasionally, Melissa and I, we hear about a comment that was made about either myself or my wife. So Lord speaks to us. I better watch it. We hear it. We hear it. "Pastor, I think you should know that somebody said this about you." And you know what? Can I be honest? I do not want to respond as Pastor Ryan. I don't even want to respond as Ryan. Ryan's too nice. I need like an ulterior motive, like a Northside Ryan or something, you know, like another personality. But we have both learned, my wife and I have both learned, that somebody else's immaturity doesn't need to call out our own immaturities. We've had to work through that. "Babe, I know she said that, but just let it go. Let it go." And she's so good about encouraging me as well when little Ryancito wants to flare up, you know. But you know, we've
We have worked too hard spiritually to get to the place we are today. How many of you have worked too hard on your maturity to revert back to pettiness? You know what I'm saying? Like, you've gone through enough drama to be hurt by a little dirty look. The devil knows that the more of you that is in you, the less of the spirit that is in you. And so he is going to work to call your attention to things that are meant to call you out so that there is more of you present and less of the Holy Spirit present. But when there is a spiritually mature man, when there is a spiritually grown woman of God who was filled with the Spirit of God, you aren't offended as much by the natural things. No, you are offended by the things that grieve God. You are offended by the attempts that the enemy takes to take God's glory. You are offended by the things that stunt spiritual growth and kingdom growth. I have learned, let me share this little nugget with you. I have learned that if the stumbling blocks in my life are people, it's because I have given people too much power. People should not, listen. People should not be stumbling blocks in your life. It should not. I love you. I love all of you. And it will hurt me if you hurt me. It will grieve me if you betray me. It will break my heart if some of the people that I have learned to love and trust the most turn out to be somebody else. I know that it saddened Jesus when Judas betrayed him. I know that it hurt him to see all of his disciples flee from him and his prosecution, but it never slowed down his progress because he was about his Father's business. And so when people hurt you, and people will hurt you, some of you came to church today hurt by somebody. Some of you are intentionally avoiding somebody here today. Some of you have chosen to sit across the other side of the sanctuary, and everybody's like, why is he sitting over there? He never sits over there. When people hurt you, don't let it make you stumble. You can have a jealous thought. That's natural. But be aware that a jealous thought can produce a jealous spirit. Don't let a moment of pride turn into a spirit of pride. Don't inhabit a spirit of offendedness. Learn to let go of you. I'm getting ready to close, but I want to go back to John's response real quick. John says to his disciples, a person cannot receive one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at his voice. Therefore, this is the joy of mine that is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. This is my time is over. I had a moment. The Lord, the Father, allowed me a moment to do what I needed to do for his name's sake. But now that Jesus is here, it's not about me. It's never been about me. So now this is the moment where he must shine, he must increase, and I must decrease. See, John understood his assignment. That is so important. Knowing your assignment and who it is that assigns it to you is one of the greatest weapons against the spirit of offendedness. John didn't play into this as a stumbling block because why? He knew what he came to do. Jesus didn't make people a stumbling block because he knew what he came to do. John says, I came to bear witness about him because this is all about him anyways. I did my thing. Now he's got to do his thing. And church, the Bible says in Colossians that in whatever you do, do with all your heart unto the Lord. And not for men. And all you do, and everything you do, and the way that you parent, and the way that you treat people, and the way that you work, and the way that you run your business, and the way that you do ministry, and all you do, every aspect of your life, don't do it for men, do it for God. Because if you do it for men, you're going to try to please men. And then when man displeases you, You're going to be offended by it. And it's going to slow down the progress of what I've called you to do. I'm calling the church today to understand their assignment. Know what you have been sent here to do. Everybody in this place has a calling from God. You have been called to give glory to God in every aspect of your life. And I want you to understand this, that my assignment will not be exactly like yours. Yours will not be exactly like mine. So what does that mean? I cannot compare myself to anybody else. Because what God has entrusted to me, He's entrusted to me. What God has entrusted to Pastor Danny, He's entrusted to Pastor Danny. I can't compare myself to Pastor Danny. He can't compare himself to me because we have two different assignments. And though they're very much similar, I've got the people that God has already laid out for me to reach, and He's got the people that God has called Him to reach. I can't be looking over there and say, why is He discipling somebody? I'm the lead pastor of the church. I should be discipling. No, I can't do that because it'll slow down my progress. We have too many Christians that are still immature, and it's time to grow up, church. And I say this with love and I say this with grace, but it's time to grow up because God is calling you to so much greater that you have not even seen yet because you are stumbling every single day over somebody. I don't have time. I'm 35 years old. I don't have time for the stumbling blocks to keep me from growing. I don't have time to please people I was never called to please. I don't have time to be offended by every word, by every stare, by every disappointment, by every disagreement, because my assignment is to Him and Him alone. Remember, people of God, listen, man didn't call you. God called you. See or no? Man did not call you, God called you. Now, I know that sounds real good, and it makes you want to cry because you're like, yes, Lord, yes, you called me. I'm not called by man. But understand this as well. Just like He called you, He called the person next to you. You weren't meant to compete. You were meant to collaborate. You were meant to divide. You were meant to unite. The church wasn't meant to be offended by the church. The church is meant to offend the plans of the enemy by being the light and the darkness, by being salt and light, by being known for its love. He must increase, but I've got to decrease. And I want you to stand this morning, because this morning I want to call out that spirit of offendedness. I don't know who this is for, okay? But listen, if you haven't heard anything, listen right now. If you dwell in a cloud of offense, it's time to decrease. Listen, I'm not saying that you're never going to be offended. We're human. This morning, my wife said that my pants look a little tight. I was a little offended by that. I just washed them. You know how when you wash pants? It's time to stop being offended by everything, church. If it has made you insecure, if it has made you angry, if it has made you a jealous person to the point where you can't even celebrate the things that God is doing in somebody else's life, if it has made you wonder if you are good enough because you are comparing yourself to other people, and if this is stunting your spiritual growth because you have allowed people to be a stumbling block, this is for you today. God says no more. No more. God is saying, let me increase as you decrease. God is saying, you've got to declutter some things because I want to inhabit every aspect of your life. No more offendedness. No more offendedness. If that's you this morning, people are already coming up. If that's you, come up. And we're going to give it to God. We're going to give everything to God.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.